Who's ready for the word of the Lord? Yeah, so am I. I really, really feel today very strongly that I've got something to say from the Lord. You should expect when you come to church that you're going to hear a message from the Lord, from the Bible. Amen. Amen. And so let's just pray right now. And Father, we just come before you and we just thank you for Jesus. Thank you for communion. Thank you that we're reminded, Lord, of what you've done for us. But right now, Lord, we just pray you'll give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to every one of us. I pray for people here today who've been coming for a long time, that they'll have a fresh encounter with you. But Lord, I also pray for people who've come through the door for the first time today, that they'll have an encounter with you. All of us want to meet with Jesus today through his word. So give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. The title of today's message is this: keep your hair on. Keep your hair on. Who's bald here today? Seriously, who's completely bald? Could all the bald men stand to their feet? Come on, let's put our hands together. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Amen, amen. Who remembers Kojak? He made baldness cool, didn't he? Well, you know, obviously this is a metaphor for today, so if you're a bald man, I don't want you to feel too bad. But keep your hair on. And the message is based upon a remarkable story in the Bible that's found in Judges chapter 13 through to 17. And the story that we're going to look at first begins with a married couple who were unable to have children. In addition, they also lived in a terrible time. They lived in a time where their tiny little country that was called Israel was being oppressed by the far more powerful but wicked Philistines. So for this couple, life was very, very difficult for them. But the Bible tells us in this story that the angel of God appeared to the woman and to her husband with a message of hope and a message of encouragement for the future. Amen. The angel told them that they would have a baby boy. Who thinks that would be a message of hope and encouragement? Yeah, some of you are not so sure. Amen. By the way, Ben and Cherie are coming to visit us during the school holidays. And our grandchildren are going to be here. So, amen. I'm excited about that. But the angel told them that they would have a baby boy. However, their future baby boy hadn't been born yet, was to be called a Nazarite for life. He was called to be a Nazarite for life. What on earth? What on earth is a Nazarite? I'm so glad you asked the question. Amen. A Nazarite is not a Nazarene. A Nazarene was a person from Nazareth. For example, Jesus was called a Nazarene because he grew up in Nazareth. But a Nazarite was someone in the Bible days who chose to dedicate themselves to God, usually for a short period of time, in order to carry out a special vow that they had made or to carry out a promise that they'd made to God. But while carrying out their vow to God and being dedicated to God, these people were not permitted to cut their hair during that time. Rather, and by the way, they were not allowed to drink alcohol. Or even eat grapes. Their long hair, male and female, was a sign of their dedication to God. That's how it was in the Old Testament, the Bible days. Even John the Baptist, we consider him to have been a Nazarite too. They would let their hair grow long. Then once they had fulfilled their vow, they would then go back to their normal lives once again, get their hair cut, drink alcohol, whatever it is that they did. This woman and the husband were told that their baby boy was called by God to be a Nazarite for his entire life, not just a short period of time, and that he was chosen to fulfill a lifelong mission. Therefore, this little baby boy, and throughout his whole life, he was never, never to cut his hair and never to drink alcohol. And his mission was to begin the deliverance of Israel from the wicked and powerful Philistines. Everybody with me so far? A year after the angel's visit, the baby boy was born. And the mother named her baby
Samson.
Absolutely, Samson. Some of you heard this story before. It's interesting. It says that in the Bible it says that the Lord blessed Samson. I'll say it again. It says, and you've got to keep this in your mind for later on in this message. It says that the Lord blessed Samson. He was favored by Almighty God. And it also says that the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. Interesting phrase. The Samson we read about in the Bible represents you here today. Like Samson, you've been chosen by God to belong to him. Everybody. Like Samson, you're called to live a life that is dedicated to God. Like Samson, you have a life purpose to fulfill. Like Samson, you've been born also into a world that is hostile towards God and his people. Like Samson, the Lord has blessed you. Like Samson, the Holy Spirit is working in your life. Like Samson, you have gifts and abilities that God has equipped you with. And Samson had the most unusual gift from God. Whenever the Holy Spirit came upon him, whenever the Holy Spirit stirred him, Samson became physically strong. Very strong. Very, very strong. He also became very quick as well. His reflexes increased. He was very strong. Yet in spite of his strength, Samson did not look strong. He looked like a normal guy. His strength did not come from working out in the gym. His strength did not come from having big biceps. His strength did not come from exercise. His strength came from the Lord. So whenever the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him, he became literally a one-man army. But without the Holy Spirit of the Lord, Samson was an ordinary man. Isn't that true about us today as well? In addition to his strength, Samson was also gifted with wisdom and leadership. For God had also appointed Samson to be the leader of Israel. That means if he was a leader or judge of Israel, as he was called, that means people came to him for advice and for godly wisdom. Contrary to what some people think, Samson was not a dumb muscle head. I just wanted to say that. Samson was chosen by God and he was equipped by God and he was a formidable force to be reckoned with. Now in this Samson story, the wicked Philistines represent, this is very important, the fallen world in which we live today. And the Philistines also represent the spiritual powers of darkness that you wrestle with every single day of your life. The Philistines represent the world and the Philistines represent the powers of darkness. While Samson represents you and represents me. And as far as evil spirits are concerned, you are also a formidable force to be reckoned with. Maybe we need to talk about that on another Sunday. Amen? Amen? Samson's mandate or mission for life was to bring deliverance for those people who had been oppressed by the wicked Philistines. Samson's mandate is also our mandate. How we want to see our friends, our neighbors, our family, our community delivered from the snare of this fallen world and from the tyranny of Satan. That's what we want to see. Could somebody say amen to that? Amen. Over his time, Samson did just remarkable and extraordinary exploits that required him to exercise great faith in Almighty God. There was an occasion when 1,000 fully armed Philistine soldiers were hunting for him. How would you like to have 1,000 fully armed men hunting for you? These guys were out to hunt Samson. The Philistines were frustrated with Samson because he was causing them so much damage and loss. Wouldn't it be great if the powers of darkness will be getting frustrated with real life church because we're causing them so much damage and loss? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Samson knew they were coming. His mates came to him and says, there's 1,000 guys coming. We don't know what to do. And so Samson allowed his Israelite colleagues to tie him up, arrest him, and present him to the Philistine soldiers as if he had been captured. And tied him up, they did. And when the Philistine soldiers saw him standing there, they started to shout in triumph, we've got this boy, we finally got him, we've captured him. They thought they had finally caught him. It took tremendous faith for Samson, with the ropes around his hands, to stand his ground with 1,000 soldiers charging towards him with their swords and spears. But stand his ground he did. And the Bible says, as he stood his ground, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him powerfully, and he snapped the ropes from off his arms as if they were nothing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just really feel in the Holy Spirit the Lord wants to do that with some people here today. The enemy's tried to bind you, and he's put ropes around you. Stand your ground and let the Holy Spirit come upon you in a fresh way today in Jesus' name. Then Samson looked on the ground for a rock or a stick to defend himself with, and all he found was a jawbone of a donkey. And he scooped that up, and that would be about so big, and you got the hook part at the end there. And with that jawbone, and with the enabling of the Holy Spirit, Samson wiped out that group of 1,000 fully armed Philistine soldiers. Wow, can we say that backwards? And forwards again? I've got to be honest, I really would like to have been there that day and watched that happen. You know, it's just that guy stuff, you know, wow, you know. No, but this is the thing. Nobody else stood with Samson. He was all by himself. His mates had taken off. They weren't standing with him. But Samson trusted in his God, and he defeated those who were hunting for him. It was a stunning victory. It was a victory that never should have happened. It was an impossible victory, but it did happen. It was a supernatural victory, and it struck fear right into the heart of the enemy. You imagine the Philistine observers having to go back and say, we just lost 1,000 men to one man. What if all the other Israelites start to stand up against us? What is going on? We will not be able to oppress them any longer. This victory struck fear into the heart of the Philistine soldiers, and it put hope in the hearts of the oppressed. Amen. Samson was just full of promise. He was at the top of his game, if you like that expression. Samson overflowed with extraordinary potential. Samson brought hope to his people, and Samson expected to succeed. But in spite of his success, and in spite of his calling, and in spite of the blessings of God upon his life, Samson tragically self-destructed. Samson self-destructed. Samson did not complete the work that God had called him to do. It was unfinished when he died. Samson only led Israel for 20 years when he should have led them for 40 years. Instead of finishing his life with dignity and with victory, he finished his life with great regret and great shame. No one could defeat Samson, but Samson destroyed himself. Dear brothers and sisters at Real Life Church, don't be like Samson and self-destruct. Stand your ground. Keep your light burning for Jesus. You've got too much on the line for you to go and destroy yourself and lose your faith. Well, how did Samson self-destruct? What happened? Well, Samson self-destructed because he allowed himself to become infatuated with the Philistines. He allowed himself to be seduced by those who were hostile to everything they actually stood for. He fell in love with those who were actually oppressing his own mates and his own family and his own people. He became partners with those who were opposed to God. He stood with those whose culture celebrated depravity. He wrongly felt that he was missing out on something that he needed. So he was looking for that non-existent something in all the wrong places. So instead of pushing back against the Philistines and pushing back against the influence of the evil Philistines, he went and flirted with them. How dumb can you be and still breathe? Really? Really? Remember that the Philistines represents the fallen world. And they also represent the spiritual powers of darkness that is driving this fallen world in which we exist and live today. We know that Samson eventually and literally fell in love with Delilah, a Philistine woman. And then the leaders of the Philistines offered Delilah lots of money if she could just find out the secret of Samson's strength. See, the Philistines had not forgotten what Samson had done to them. Payback was coming. So Delilah kept nagging him day after day after day after day. Nag, nag, nag. Nobody in this room's ever experienced that. Amen. So Delilah kept nagging him for his secret. Eventually, Samson just couldn't take it anymore. And he confessed to her why he was so strong. And he said to evil Delilah, he said to her, "Delilah, my hair's never been cut." He confessed, "If I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth, if my head was shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else." Delilah, she had no idea what a Nazarite was. She was a Philistine pagan. She had no concept of dedicating yourself to Almighty God. She didn't know God. But she knew that Samson had told her the truth about his hair. So while Samson was sleeping, now there's a line for you. While Samson was sleeping, while Samson was sleeping, Delilah had someone else come and cut off the 7 locks of his hair. See, Samson was not strong because of his hair. He was strong because of what his hair represented. His hair was a sign that he was a Nazarite. He was dedicated to God. He was in special covenant with God. And so are we. We celebrated that today. And now he had willingly allowed evil Delilah to mess with his covenant that he had with God. He's letting this person mess with his covenant that he has with God. Dear brothers and sisters, don't let the devil mess with your dedication to Almighty God. Don't let the world, I urge you, don't let the world lull you to sleep so it can start chopping away at your covenant with God. Wake up. Stay awake. Wake up to the danger you are in before it's too late. The world, with its seductive smile, invites you to join it, but it's got scissors hidden behind its back, waiting for you. That's why the Bible says this: do not love this world. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and in our possessions. These are not from the Father, but they're from this world. Look at this next line. And this world is fading away. It's not going to last forever. This world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live. Very important word. But anyone who does what pleases God will live, have life forever. Amen. Once that last lock fell from Samson's head, Delilah woke him up then, and she shouted, "Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." And the Bible says, when Samson woke up, he thought, "I will do as before and shake myself free." And then he says, but he didn't realize that the Lord had left him. Wow, that would have to be one of the saddest statements in the Bible, I think. Samson had become so dry in his heart that he could not even detect that the Lord had left him. God have mercy on us if that happens to us. Samson was functioning on empty and functioning on presumption. And without the Holy Spirit, Samson found himself as weak as any other man, for God had left him. You know, we often enjoy, and rightly so, quoting the scriptures where God promised, "I will never fail you." Everybody see that? It says, "I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." God says that to us. And Jesus said, "And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." These are great scriptures. We celebrate these scriptures. We love these scriptures because they encourage us. Yet the Bible says that God left Samson. What's going on here? You got promises like this. Why did he leave Samson when he said, "I'll never leave you"? What's happening? You know, it raises a question. Does God stay with you and keep his promise? Or does God leave you on your own? Which is it going to be? You know, what's going on? Everybody, I just need to answer that. Is everybody good with this? Please listen carefully. God is always just a prayer away from whoever you may be. Even a sinner, a backslider, or an atheist can pray and ask God to forgive them and save them, and he will hear them. God is not far from all of us. Could somebody say amen to that? That's the good news. He's not far from all of us. But until you surrender your heart to God and forsake the world, you're actually choosing to reject God so you can follow another sort of God in your life. So God cannot favor or bless you because you belong to the kingdom of the world, if you belong to the kingdom of the world. However, when you surrender your life to Almighty God, who is your creator, you then step into a covenant with Jesus Christ, who is God. You move from the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of God. You dedicate yourself to him, and God dedicates himself to you, and God responds and he pours out favor, blessing, love, peace, wisdom, victory, and hope upon you, and he remains with you. God never leaves those who remain in covenant with him. The Bible says, I told you right at the beginning, that God blessed Samson and that the Holy Spirit moved upon Samson. But when Samson broke the covenant he had with God, he cut God out of his life and said, "I'm following these other gods over here." And all the blessings that he was taking for granted evaporated the moment he betrayed his God. He lost his protection. He lost his strength. He lost blessing. And he walked out of the presence of God and joined the Philistines. We don't want to reject Almighty God. He is with us as we keep following him. I'm just saying it how it is today. Am I right? You know I'm right. You know I'm right. And when he followed the Philistines, when he did that, Samson ended up being captured himself by the Philistines instead of being welcomed by them. They actually captured him. Then they gouged out his eyes and then they put him in prison. And that's what the spirit of this world does to the saints of God who foolishly fall for the seductive tricks of the world. That's what the world's out to do to you and me if it can, if we let it. The spirit of this world blinds foolish behaving Christians to the truth and puts them in a spiritual prison. Here is a key lesson for us all. You can't live a Christian life with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God and expect your life to be all sweet and okay. I'll say it again, everybody. I know you're thinking, aren't you? You're all thinking right now. You're thinking, Pastor Dave, I wish you'd preach something else. I'm preaching for your soul today. Preaching for your soul. I want to make sure you all get through those pearly gates. Every single one of you. Every one of you. Listen, you can't live a Christian life with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God and expect everything to be sweet and okay. Doesn't work like that. You can't serve two masters. The Bible clearly says if you want to be a friend of the world, go ahead, but then you make yourself an enemy of God. I'll say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Now, what does this all talk about? God is not saying we should not have non-Christian friends. He's not saying that at all. Absolutely not. God loves the people of this world. Jesus came to save and save people from the world, amen, and rescue people from the world. There's nothing wrong with having non-Christian friends. I've got non-Christian friends. There's nothing wrong with having non-Christian friends and enjoying, you know, their company and fellowship with them, provided they do not influence you to follow the gods that they have in their own lives. But when the Bible talks about this evil world, it's talking about the mindsets, the philosophies, the values, the worldview, the obsessions, the lusting, the political correctness, the cravings, the materialism, all that stinking thinking of this fallen world that we need to guard against so that we don't self-destruct and end up like Samson. That's what it's talking about. Samson, as smart as he was, anointed as he was, he did not guard his heart. And so he ended up broken, blind, and in prison. If you do not guard your heart, you will end up broken, blind, and in a spiritual prison. But thank God, the Bible says this, Samson's hair began to grow back. Now there's a word of encouragement for some of our bald men here in this bald men here today. Samson's hair began to grow back. In prison, his hair was growing, and something was also going on in Samson's heart as he considered what he had done, as he reflected on his life. Eventually, the Philistines decided to have a huge festival to honor their own god. Dagon was the name of their god. And the Philistines' temple was massive. Actually, it was huge. Archaeologists have dug up Philistine temples. It was massive. Could hold several thousands of people. It was packed with thousands of people on this particular day. So the leaders called for Samson to be brought out of prison and stand where most people would be able to see him. I presume they had some sort of platform or stage. And because they wanted to humiliate him, and they also wanted to mock Almighty God, Yahweh. As Samson stepped out in front of that huge Philistine crowd, the hatred and humiliation directed at him and towards God was just overwhelming. Blind Samson was under the control now of a young servant. Isn't it amazing? He destroyed 1,000 men and now is having to be led by this boy, this servant boy, who stood him next to these pillars that held up this giant temple, and that's how they were built. That's a fact. That's how they were built. These giant temples relied on these pillars. And so Samson bent down and asked the boy to place his hands on those massive pillars. You know the story. And Samson then humbly prayed, "Oh, sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time." And Samson, by faith, pushed against those immovable pillars, and he prayed one more thing, "And let me die with the Philistines." And the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the pillars came crashing down, and so did all of those Philistines. And grace and mercy, God answered Samson and brought about a mighty victory. It was a great victory. Wonderful victory. But the way Samson died was never the way it was meant to be. If only Samson had stayed on the right path, what could he have achieved? No one defeated mighty Samson. Samson self-destructed. This remarkable story, I've nearly finished, is in the Bible to warn us against making the same mistake as Samson. It reminds us, it reminds me, I've been challenged to not compromise our faith and dedication to Jesus Christ. No compromise. We're 100% Jesus. I'm going to say that again. We're 100% Jesus. Come on. We're either in or the out. There's no lukewarmness here. We're all for Jesus. Amen. Come on. Come on. Come on. Therefore, don't fall for the seductive tricks of the world. Don't play with fire. Watch out for Delilah. Flee from sinful lusts. Stay away from those Philistines. Watch out for those scissors. Keep your hair on in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. In conclusion, by the way, keep your hair on whether you're feeling up or down. Keep your hair on whether God's answered your prayer or He hasn't answered your prayer. Keep your hair on whether you're having a great time or a bad time. Keep your hair on. Yeah, to Him. The Bible urges us, and I just about finished, I really have. It says this, keep away from anything that might take God's place. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. So here's a question. What is the condition of your heart today? Everybody, I've just about finished. I'm asking the question. What is the condition of your heart today? Has something else taken God's place in your heart? And if something's taken place, maybe you've become dry. One of the things I've found in my own life experience, that when I become dry in heart, and I've had times, everybody has times where they're dry, but one of the antidotes for dryness of heart is just to worship the Lord. And I'm going to ask the band if they'll just come forward, because I just want, it's only 10 past 10. I want us to worship the Lord right now. Who's with me? Come on. We're going to worship the Lord. So if band, and why don't we just stand to our feet right now? Oh, Holy Spirit. Come on, call upon the name of the Lord. He calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we just call upon your name right now in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord. We know you're coming back again. We don't know when, but we know the time is short. And Lord, we don't want to be like Samson and only go halfway. We don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be silly. We don't want to take for granted the blessings of the Lord. We don't want to do that, Lord. We don't want to follow after this world. We want to go the whole distance. We want to live for you. When we leave this life, Lord, we want to go to heaven, Lord, with dignity and honor, yes, having honored you and blessed you. That's us today. And so if you're dry today and you think, oh my goodness, that message was for me today, I just encourage you just to worship God. And as we sing this song, make it your own. We'll sing along with the singers, but make it your own. And just forget about people around about you. Forget about what you've got to do tomorrow or even this afternoon. Just seize the moment Lift your heart before God and let Him just anoint you today in a fresh way. Come on, let's sing.